Log Talk
right,
Radio.
Get it.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot. I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive. No big, I feel like Pac. I shoot a shot. I'm coming in hot. Yeah, coming in hot. Just like the fajita. I write what I live. My life in the speaker. I'm nice with the flow. Just like the demeanor. I'm feeding my fam. I'm feeding the meter. They got the iron while well, I got the steamer. I bring the fire, but you never seen her. I testify, I don't need a subpoena. They want my soul, better go to Korea. I love my dog just like I'm Peter. Gotta protect him. I made the call, it was just like I'm reffin'. I know we left, yeah, now we back together. But I guess that is better now, later than never. Like, what's happening? I'ma need y'all, quit asking when. Me and my wife gon' have some kids. Right now, we just practicing. Practicing. Teacher said, quit rapping, man. That gon' hurt my average. I said, thank God I ain't average. Yeah, I'm a bright young man. Kill the GPA, and the BPM. Look, we on. So say what you say, cause that's A with Lecrae. From the A train to the A, I'm coming in.
All right now.
Yeah.
All right now. What up? What's up, Kia? Point blankers.
Point blankers.
We got a cool show for y'all tonight. Man, I look forward to every Wednesday night. I get to talk with my brother and my sister. Man, you two are awesome. I know. I got mushy real quick, right? So the show just started.
Yeah,
I got mushy.
Too. You know what I'm saying?
You guys are awesome.
You're getting all sensitive, man.
Coming out, everybody. That's it for Point Blank Radio. What's up, y'all?
What's up?
How y'all doing? E, it's 2 weeks in a row.
Yo, what's good?
What?
Man,
it's 2 weeks in a row. We've been blessed to have E on here. Oh, man. What's going on, y'all? How y'all week been?
Yeah. Good,
it's
man.
Been,
I just,
but
like I told you
here.
Earlier, I just been just football, trying to get in as much dry fire training as possible. You know what I'm saying? I watched a video the other day of Kobe Bryant talking about his regimen, you know, his workout regimen. And he was saying he would get up at 4 a.m. and train to 6 a.m. Then he would come back again, you know what I'm saying, at 8 until 10. I mean, he broke it down. Like, he had 4 training sessions a day. And he was like, you know, imagine how much training you've received over your opponent. You know what I mean? And I'm like, man, like, I wish I had that much ammunition that I could train that often. Yeah, you know, that's what I was thinking today. Like, man, I would like to have that much ammunition that I could train that often. So that's where my head was today.
Yeah, but you know, you said something too, and I love that you brought it up, because I don't think it's something that we bring up enough on this show, is dry firing. You know, people are like,
yeah,
oh, it's not the real thing. Nothing equates to a real thing. But guess what it does, folks? It helped build those mechanics. Everything become one with your firearm. You become one with reloading. And I had a really good conversation with a guy I met today, and we started talking about the black community and guns. And he was like, listen, man, I will go head on with anybody from the hood that's shooting at me. He said, I won't even, like, if it comes down to it, I feel like I can go at them and get to them before they actually get a shot on me, because they don't train. And when they shoot,
yeah,
they're shooting just to shoot. They're not aiming. They're not being intentional. You know, he said the one thing that they don't do, because they don't dry fire, is they don't reload. And I was like, damn, I never thought about that. In all the videos that I've watched,
you know what, though? That's a great
I've never seen someone from the hood reload.
Thing they don't do, another thing they don't do is they don't look for cover.
And they don't get off the X. They don't look for cover,
right,
and they don't get off the X.
They just buck wild. Yeah.
You know, and folks, don't think that we are advocates of of people in the hood shooting at us all crazy. But what we are advocates of is if you're going to do it and you're claiming self-defense, because that's what everybody does, right? They claim, oh, I'm claiming self-defense. Do it right. You know, at least train to do that. You know, can you reload if you got to? Or are you getting off the X? You know, don't just go get the concealed and be like, oh, I'm good because I watch John Wick 1, 2, and 3 and RoboCop and Rambo and all this other junk, even though John Wick's a good movie to watch. But guess what Keanu Reeves did in that movie, though? He trained. He is, to me, he is the Kobe Bryant when it comes down to gunplay of cinema, period.
Come on, yo. Hey, that deserves a clap right there. 100. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
He's a
I totally agree with that. Because he completely is consumed by his role. Like, he takes it, he wants it to be so legit. Even when he did Matrix, he was the same way with the movements, the martial arts, the shoot, you know what I'm saying? Everything. Like, he was like, yo, no, I need to, I want it to be as legit as possible. So, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's good. That's good right there. That's good right there. I like that, man.
You know, the thing about it is I find that amazing that he wants to do that. And then we have people who want to carry around a gun and don't want to train and get into that, you know?
At all.
Should we be as diligent while we're walking around carrying a firearm as, you know, Keanu Reeves will be in studying for, you know, a new role? You know, you would think that people would think of it the same way.
You hitting right on my point. Like, I was thinking like that today. Like, man, I wish I had the ammunition, not the time. You gonna say, because you can find the time to do whatever you want to do. Let's be realistic, right?
Oh, yeah.
Whatever you want to do, you can find the time.
You'll find the time.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But the ammunition is what I'm lacking. Like, I got, you know, saying 1,000 rounds, but I'm a little stingy. I don't want to use those. I want 1,000 rounds of self-defense and 1,000 rounds of range ammo. I'm just being realistic. That's me. So if I got to dip into my 1,000, I'm looking like,
I don't know.
That. So.
That's the zombie stash right there. You got to kind of get going. Hey, I feel you, E. You said the right word that kicked off, like, that spark that gave me that spark. It's like, yo, you said drop firing. And I would say I hear instructors talk about drop firing. Hey, you should drop fire. But there's one thing that I feel, and I could be wrong, but I feel we don't sell it hard enough. As hard as we sell, go to the range and get training in, we don't sell dry fire. And I say we as a collective of instructors, because I definitely do, and I'm pretty sure the two of y'all do, but I like to say we as a collective of instructors, we don't sell dry firing. Dry firing keeps you so safe. You can do it right from your home. And I would definitely say before, when you put on your gear, before you walk outside with your EDC, you know what you should do? You should dry fire. Stand in front of the mirror.
Yeah.
Whatever you put on, make sure your guns is clear first, folks. Make sure your guns are 100% clear. You know, clear it. Do a visual inspection, physical inspection. Look away, look back. Make sure your gun is clear. But dry fire, 5 quick reps. Bam. Can I draw from this holster right? Click. Draw from the holster, click.
Yeah.
You know, practice that way. God forbid you go outside. You doing that dry fire will put you in that mindset that, hey, today may be the day I may have to protect myself, my friend or family. I've already practiced for this today before I left the house. That's simple.
Yeah, that's good,
I love
man.
You saying.
Yeah, that's good, man, because I practiced with all of my pistols last couple of days, you know, just sitting there. And I took some pictures with my laser hit, and I was using about 10 feet away a doorknob. I know that sounds so crazy, but I was sitting about 10 feet away, and I wanted to shoot at a doorknob because I wanted to get work on my trigger control as well as sight picture, sight alignment. You feel me? So, you know, at 10 feet, a doorknob is probably about, you know what I'm saying, it's small. You know what I mean? So my sights would kind of hide most of it. You know what I'm saying? But with low light, I could still see the light hitting it because I got both eyes open. You know what I mean? So that was something that I was working on the last couple of days. Is I want to know where all of my the best that I could with that training session, where all of my pistols, where that break point is. You feel what I'm saying? Like, where that break?
Yeah.
Like, I think I told you this guys before. On the HK VP9, I hate the reset. I hate it. Absolutely hate it. But the take up and the trigger break, you know what I'm saying? The actual fire, beautiful. But the reset is so light. Like the moment you go to just a slight release to go to reset, it's like my finger bounces right off the trigger. And I can't figure that out. Like, and I spent hours trying to figure that one out. It had me frustrated. I had to put it away. I was like, I'm done. So what I am going to do is I'm going to replace the entire fire control system. I'm going to put in a custom, and hopefully it will eliminate that problem. But still, my canic, enough said. I ain't gonna just call it a name is all that needs to be said. I don't even gotta say nothing else. All right. So I don't care what anybody say, man. I'm really, 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 really believing canic is the best firearm on the business right now. That's just how I feel.
Yeah.
You know, my
now,
MMA,
I do love my
canic.
I will say that. I do love my canic. I will say that much.
Hey, listen,
yeah, you know, she got hers. I got mine.
Right,
I got full size. So,
look, me too.
I don't have
listen, we might as well start a shooting team and try to get Canic to be our sponsor because Canic is that gun. Like, I don't care what anybody says. It is that firearm.
Yeah. And it's stock, folks, stock. Y'all have not shot a Canic. You know what? Even better, if y'all have not held a Canic, go hold it.
Yes.
But you know what I would definitely recommend too? You don't know anything about trigger pull, trigger reset, the break, and all the other good stuff. Number one, get with me, get with Kia, get with E, number one. If you can't get with any of us, and you go to the gun store, ask them to pick up a canic, let me see that canic, and let me see the other. Whatever the other is, compare the two.
Yeah.
But start with that trigger pull it to the rear.
Oh, my God.
Hold it to the rear, pull that slide.
Yeah.
Yo, the reset, you don't even have to pull the slide. It's just, man, that reset, you just grab the front and do a press check, and it resets. That is the
it
most
resets.
Beautiful
it's
reset
beautiful.
Ever.
Yeah.
And
it
and then just release
the
it slowly
arm.
And
yes.
pull it back. And then do it
yes.
with other. And you'll see, you guys will completely understand what we're talking about. You got to experience it. You know, people's going to be like, Canic, what's that? It's a Turkish gun. Oh, a gun from Turkey. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Okay, go check it out. And the pricing starts at $399. Can't beat that. Well, that's a cheap gun.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
Hey,
go
have
check
you
it
seen
out.
The new, so Canic just released the Messi models, the SFX,
you mean pure
and another one. I can't
pure sexiness too?
Yeah, listen. they come in that two-tone, and oh, my God. I'm just like, listen, you know I'm going to get them. Like, I'm going to get them. You know what I mean? I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to get them. You know what I mean? They are just I was sold on a Canic the first time I worked on one. I was like, yo, this is one of the best, like, weapons I've ever, you know what I'm saying, the mechanics, like, just how it functions, the slide moves, the trigger pull, the, you know what I'm saying? The sight picture is easy to, you know, I was just like, man, who designed this gun? Like, yo, what's going on? And so... we need to go ahead. Canic needs to be we need to be Team Canic. That's what it is right there.
I'm with it.
Are you right? Definitely. So, but yeah, it's good. You know what I'm saying? So, Trigger Mechanics is definitely working on, dry firing. That's huge. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't stress. I know that I should. This is my confession. I don't stress it as much as I should when it comes to my concealed carry classes. And I need to. You know what I'm saying? I do more when I do kind of like I stress it more when I'm talking to people that just want to go shoot. Like, hey, just help me with my, you know, my shooting mechanics. Okay, cool. and then I get into the whole the dry fire and why. You know what I mean? And I need to do better than, you know, because I definitely need to improve in that area. But I kind of look at, you know, especially because I get a lot of brand new shooters, and I know that the majority of them, they just want to have the gun. So not to give it a, make an excuse, but I kind of just don't go into something that I know, like, they're not going to take the time to do it. You know what I'm saying? Because think about us, like, and do we dry fire, and we should, you know what I mean? At least an hour a day.
Yeah.
So.
And see, I think with me, Elliot, the reason why, the reason why with me, I don't stress dry firing as much is because I work a lot of new shooters, and the thing that I find that bothers them the most is the recoil, right? So you, and of course with dry firing you don't get that recoil. So I'm constantly like, go to the range and get used to the recoil, get used to the noise, you know. So I think for me, that's why I don't stress a lot of dry firing. I actually will talk about dry firing with my more experienced shooters, because they already know the fundamentals. They already know the you know, the recoil, the noise, all that stuff. So that's why I think if I talk about it more with my experienced shooters as opposed to my new shooters, because my new shooters are still getting used to that recoil, the noise, and all that stuff. So
100%. I got you.
Yeah.
I got you. Yeah, I know.
But I think, that's definitely, it definitely has its place, though.
Yeah, I know for me, this week, I actually have been improving my pistol grip. So, which is another, you know, another great topic, right? So you know how, how we're supposed to hold our pistols. I wish we had, like, this was a live video, right? So what I learned to do, and it was quite difficult for me with my support hand at first to straighten my thumb to where my thumb and forearm are in one perfect alignment. So just to give everybody a visual, right? At first, I would just hold it, and my thumb was kind of sitting higher than my forearm on my support hand, and I was watching this guy one of the I can't think of his name right now, but I know he's one of the IDPA top competition shooters, and he was like, listen, this will help you control your recoil even better. He was like, all you have to do is extend that wrist just a little bit, so now that your thumb is like pointing. And when you look down, it looks like your thumb, your forearm, elbow are all in one alignment. And I was like, oh, snap.
Yeah.
So I started working on that dry firing. Now, of course, I couldn't see the difference, but because there's no recoil. But with doing it for over a few days, the flexibility became better. You get what I'm saying? So I was like, okay. So, again, this is giving me the opportunity to work on some small little details probably wouldn't have worked on if I was at a range live firing. So, folks, that's just another thing to think about what dry firing will help with. It's just working on the little tiny little details that you may not look at or even recognize if you're at a gun range live firing. So, just a thought.
Yeah.
Makes sense to me.
Again. It's the mechanics, you know. When the gun is loaded with live rounds and you're pulling trigger and it goes bang, you're in the game. No, you're in the warm up, right? You're in the preseason. The game don't kick in until there's that threat, right? That's game time, you know. Say it's go time, right? But before that, there's levels for practice. I remember when I first started learning how to play basketball. I had this guy that he taught me how to shoot, shoot a basketball in the park. And he was a very popular coach. He used to come out and give free lessons. And if you're new to the park, and you're new to basketball, he will have everybody huddle around, and he'll say, drop the basketball, let's shoot. And we're like, what the hell are you talking about? And you shot without the ball. You took your step. Step one, step two. If you're right-handed, you take your left-right shot, left-right, bend your knees, shoot, jump, hand straight up, bounce twice. You did that over and over. You did it about probably 50 times. And then everybody's like, what the hell am I doing this, man? And then he'll put the ball in your hand and say, keep the mechanics the same and watch the results. And then you do it, bam, bam. Oh, that went in. Bam, bam. Oh, because the only thing that changed is the ball is in your hand. So you got to tweak the weight. You know, it's the same thing with drop firing. So, Key, I know you said what you said about when you introduce it, you know, with your new shooters, so you're not using it much. For me, I kind of do introduce it to my new shooters because I all my new shooters start with drop fire. You know, whether it's with the yellow gun, whether it's with a really good gun for drop fire. And I know I'm not saying this is a joke, E, but the Taurus is a really good gun for drop fire because the trigger resets all the time. So you don't have to keep pulling the slide back. And even though it's going to have a heavy trigger pull on that second time without resetting the slide, it's good for hand positioning. You know,
hey,
like
yo,
you
listen,
said, you work on your thumb and everything. Get yourself in the lasers,
I'm
put in
cut
there,
you off right
and
there.
You're good to go.
I'm
go ahead.
Let me check this out. I tested one. I tested one.
Let's hear it. Let's hear it.
I'm about to say something. I'm about to say something.
Hold on.
I never thought I would say.
Let me get up on
it's recorded.
Okay,
it's a recorded line.
Okay.
I was wrong.
What? You were wrong about what? What was you wrong about?
The Taurus G3 is a phenomenal firearm.
Yo,
I was like, I cannot
training gun, bro.
Hey, listen. First thing I did was dry fire, right? And because I didn't have to reset, like pull the slide to reset, that was already a check in the positive column. Like, yo, what? This is ridiculous, right? Then I said, okay, well, let me go ahead. Let me shoot this thing. Let me see. You know what I'm saying? And I did the quick fire. No jam. I said, nah, that's ridiculous. I said, okay, I got me some steel. I know Cap listening. I said, I got me some steel. Let me check this out real quick. And I wasn't going to say that. This is a couple weeks ago. But I said, oh, my God.
See?
I said, let me
look how long it took him to say something.
I know.
Y'all ain't been paying attention. I haven't said a negative word about Taurus in almost 3 weeks.
I know. I did notice that.
Because,
oh man,
you know, I can't be a hypocrite. I can't say, oh, his Taurus stinks, and I just tried one, and I'm like, yo, that thing. I didn't think it was as accurate as my M&P, but I love the feel. I did love the feel. It didn't have a single malfunction, and it's a big up. I mean, it's a one up for me against my M&P because I didn't have to keep pulling that slide. I was like, yo, this is crazy. I said, I got to
I'm telling you, it's a good
I
got to
go ahead and
apologize.
Now, listen, I'm only saying that about that one. I'm only going to say about the G3. I ain't tried the rest of them, but the G3.
Yeah,
that's a bad
start. Because the next good one is the GC3, which is a good one. But my thing with the Taurus is I use the G2C as my training pistol, not necessarily one I take to the range with students, but the one I use in the classroom. I throw the laser inside of it, and they don't have to keep racking that slide back. We just pull, and I let them know because a wall is a wall, no matter where you get it. You're teaching them to recognize that wall. So, you know, with the G3, the initial pull, once the slide is resetted, it's going to go to the true wall, right?
Yeah.
And when you break and you release, it don't go back to that true wall. But there's still a feel. There's still a little bit of a take-up before it breaks again. So, for me, that's what I tell my students to feel. I just want you to feel the difference. You know, when you get to that wall, wherever it is, and you pull straight through and you notice that laser don't bounce up and down like crazy. So, no, dry firing is definitely good. I introduce it to my students
there's a technique that we teach, that I teach, you know what I'm saying, during your press. Now, This is a technique for more advanced shooters, of course. So let me throw that disclaimer out there. This is not for everybody, but you can practice this because it will help you with your timing, if you will, getting rounds on target faster. All right. So during your presentation of your firearm, what I teach is how getting on the wall before you actually fire. Yeah, I know the two of you understand what that means. But you actually, instead of pulling the trigger, the only thing you practice is presentation and get on the wall. So as you're presenting, you're taking up all the slack. So now by the time you get on, you're on target, you're on the wall and ready to sight aligns and picture and boom. You see what I'm saying? That's a more advanced technique because those of you that don't know your firearm, you'll try that and you're going to fire that firearm. You see what I'm saying? Even in a dry fire situation. But trust what I tell you, if you're in a competition and especially in a firing situation, like a gunfight situation. But again, this is more advanced technique. You'll definitely get there. So y'all want some more insight on that, hit me up at marine.vet.owned @gmail.com, and I can give you more detail and even in a demonstrational video. You know what I'm saying? But it's a technique that we use, you know what I'm saying, special force, this and that, because we want to eliminate as much time as possible to get on target. You know what I'm saying? So I know people
seconds
like,
count.
Crazy. Yeah,
count.
I know.
all this is to say, y'all, listen, I know we're throwing out a lot of – our start of our show is a little bit different today. We just kind of went right into it. You know, we're talking more about the shooting aspect of what we do, right? But the one takeaway we want y'all to take from all of this is practice. Make time.
Yeah.
Practice. That's the only way. Don't be that guy that the only time you shoot your gun for real – is when you go to the range and once a month, once every 2-3 months. No, not if you're talking about that's your gun you're going to conceal. That makes no sense because, God forbid, you're ever in that moment, you have to know your gun.
Yep.
You have to know how that gun functions. A couple things you got to know. Maybe trigger pull may not be the number one thing you got to know, but guess what you're going to get used to doing over and over? That safety. If you have a safety, I've seen people dry fire and they take the safety off. And in my mind, I'm like, why are you not manipulating that safety? Folks, however you train, that becomes second nature. If you train with your safety off and before you leave the house, you put your safety on, God forbid you're in a situation when you draw that gun and you pull that trigger, you done forgot that safety's on. And I like to tell my students, there's two scary things when it comes down to when you present that with a gun. There's nothing louder than when the gun goes bang, when it's supposed to go click, or when it goes click, when it's supposed to go bang. And if y'all don't get that, think about it. Okay? You draw that gun and you want it to go bang, you got your gun, you got your eyes on target, and you pull it, it goes click, you're going to be like, oh, man, seconds count. Are you good enough to know safety's on, drop the safety, and back on target? Or are you automatically going to panic because all you see in front is your threat? You don't know.
See,
I'm not that good.
That's a very good thing to think about, Dwayne. That's very good. That's a very good thing to think about.
Yeah.
And the point, I definitely love that because I only have one of my firearms that has a safety, but of course it's my everyday carry. Now, when I go through the process of using the safety, it's usually because I'm drawing it from the holster and at the same time disengaging the safety. You know what I'm saying?
There you
and
go.
That's a drill in
you
itself.
You practice that,
like,
though, right? You practice that, right?
Yeah, 100%. That's what I'm saying. What you're saying is such a great point, man. Because if you're gonna have a firearm with a safety, you got to practice disengaging it and reengaging.
When?
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. So, yeah. When are you going to disengage? Are you going to disengage from the draw or the present or the what I like to call the press forward? Do you go when you draw, you know, all right, as soon as I draw, I'm disengaging. Or maybe you're not confident. Maybe you're like, man, what if I pull the trigger on the way out? Okay, that's understandable. So are you going to disengage on the present? Because as you're presenting, guess what?
Yeah.
You're now disengaging and that finger is taking up that slack like Elliot was saying. But you got to practice. You know, you, however 100. You do, you have to practice, all right? And
That's 100%.
Definitely practice. And reach out to us, y'all. Reach out to Sixth and Tactical on social media. Reach out to Kia at Point Blank Firearms. And reach out to myself at Zach Tactical. Hit us up, you know, or call in. If y'all have any questions, any comments, any tips and tricks y'all want to give us, give us a call, 845-241-9979. 845-241-9979. Folks, I got to throw something y'all way. I think this may get Sarge to jump on. Have y'all heard about the new ruling that this incredible Biden administration is now presenting with us with the ban of imports from Russia? Have y'all heard about it?
I missed that one. But break that down for me.
Yeah, I missed it too.
Folks, all I'm gonna tell y'all, I know you can care less, bro, because you think it's the ugliest gun in the world. But Kia, me and you, man, that 7.62 by 39. Shut my bad. I said it all backwards, right?
I was like, do
y'all know what I mean? Y'all know what I mean. The AK round.
That was right.
762 by 39, right? Okay, I'm tripping. Prices has went up by $4 since Friday. I could go out and buy a box for $6.99, $5.99. This article came across. I'm going to break it down for y'all. But the article came across. I read the article Saturday morning. Went out Sunday. Prices were up by $4. How crazy is that? So the Biden administration, I'm kind of read verbatim, right? The Biden administration announced that it will soon prohibit the importation of Russian ammunition into the U.S. How crazy is that?
Oh, my God.
It says, while the new policy appears to prohibit the importation of both firearms, hear that, firearms and ammunition, the importance of Russian origin firearms was already heavily restricted under past executive policies. So y'all know a lot of times you just can't like get a straight Russian firearm straight from Russia. It had to go through an import company, all this other stuff until it got here to the States, kind of go through, you know, break down those barriers. But the Biden administration is proposing, and from what I'm reading, it looks like they want this to take effect September 7th this year. And if it do take effect, actually says it will take effect. Wow. It will take effect September 7th, 2021, and it's going to run for a full 12 months. So it cannot be lifted. So what does that mean for everybody, folks? There's a whole lot more in the article, but that's pretty much the gist of it. So the Biden administration is banning any kind of importation from Russia, specifically ammo and firearms. The number one gun that comes from Russia is what? The AK.
AK, brother.
The AK. The AK shoots, the AK in its original caliber, the 7.62 by 39, because now you can get an AK in all different kinds of calibers. The AK in its original caliber, the 7.62 by 39, it's a very effective round. That's the round that's used all over the world as I grew up calling it a terrorist gun. I'm just going to say what we used to call it growing up. That's a terrorist gun. But that's the gun that you see in all the movies with a bad guy waving it, the terrorists running. But no, a lot of Americans also utilize that firearm because the round, it's a big round. It's a 30 caliber, right? Right, E? It's a 30 caliber round, if I'm not mistaken. And it goes through, it's packed with a punch. So what does that mean for us here on stateside? Number one, price gouging is about to happen.
Yeah.
I went to the gun store, like I said, on Sunday, and I had this guy in front of me. He bought three boxes. I thought it was two, but he bought three boxes. Total came up to like $800 and something, damn near $900. 1,000 rounds
wow.
each box. Because he was already
wow.
on it. And I
crazy.
Saw the ammo wow. up there, and the ammo was $10.99. It was just $6.99.
Yeah.
And it was $10.99, and I picked up three boxes, and I was like, I can't spend $30 on this. This stuff was just $6.99, like
yeah.
yesterday. So I put them back, and I went back the day after. Every single one of them was sold out. So people are going to buy them.
Yeah, man.
That panic
know,
buying.
Man.
Yeah. And also, too, it's not just the AK rounds, right? What's the
yeah.
cheapest rounds that we can find? Steel, right? Steel rounds are very
yeah.
cheap. It's going to affect those because the majority of steel rounds come, they're imported from Russia. From
yeah.
now, we're going to have American companies making steel rounds, charging us those American prices. So, yeah, so
yep.
what's next, y'all? What's next? Like,
and look,
why?
They're going to find any way to backdoor their policy they can.
They're
going to find
yeah,
a way.
Yeah, exactly.
If they're not going to let us take their guns, then let's just eliminate the ammunition. If they ain't got no ammo, you know what I'm saying? They're going to find any way to do it.
Because think about it. The gun is useless without the ammunition.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
So true.
I mean,
that's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
But they know they can't just take away our firearms. You know?
Yeah.
They know they can't just do that. Oh, well, we'll just keep them from getting ammo.
And then jack up
do.
The prices on the other ammo.
Yeah. But see, but
now it's American made, a lot more control. Let's go ahead. All right, federal. One box of 10, one box of 20, $70.
See, that wasn't even the government. That's not even the government doing that. That's businesses
yeah.
doing that. Like, they know, oh, cost and demand. You feel me? Like, oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they
definitely,
about to ban
definitely.
Hey, jack the prices up. We about to make some money because people don't
yeah,
want
instantly.
It. You get what I'm saying?
Yo, when I tell you, E, Kia, I went in the next day. Like, I read the article Saturday. And Saturday night, and I was like, damn, it's too late to go to the gun store. Went that same morning, and I was like, damn, that happened quick. So then I went, when I got back home, I looked at the originated date of the article. I was like, yo, this just happened on Friday, which was the 13th. I was like, damn, they don't play no games. You know, wow. Not the 13th, my bad, not Friday the 13th. That was something else. Happened on the 20th. You know, they didn't play no game. So what's next, y'all? Like you said, if they can't get the guns from us, they're going to start putting up barriers. You know,
yeah.
they're going to say, well, we're going to mandate the companies now that you can only make these kind of guns because guess what? A lot of the parts aren't here. They're not American made. You know,
yeah.
guess what, folks? Glock, for all you Glock lovers out there. I know Glock, I always say Glock is America's gun, but it's not
well, you know,
American made.
America,
I mean, there's
though.
A couple that's made in Atlanta, but it's America's
yeah.
gun because every person loves Glock. But, dude, it's not
yeah.
an American made gun. It's what? It is Australian?
Austria.
It's Austrian company. So what if they say no imports from Austria? Guess what? Glock's gone.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, same with the Canic and Turk. And it's a, I mean, you know, it's not
oh
American.
My God.
Made,
now.
So, I mean,
I was just thinking,
anything
hey,
they
want to
do, they can do.
I'm going to be upset
yep.
then. I'm going to be real upset. I'm going to get all the Canic.
yeah. And
yeah.
you know what's so crazy, y'all? When I bought my AK, like probably like a month before you got yours, Kia, so it wasn't that long ago. And the reason I bought it was because I remember looking at them, and I have the same sentiment as you, E. Some ugly-ass guns. But
yes.
these guns are ugly. They look like they hurt when they shoot. And I'm a pretty boy at heart, so I love my ARs. And but you can get them dirt cheap. You can get them for $5.99, $6.29, $4.99. And I'm like, I don't need none of this junk. 2 months later, I'm like, you know what? Let me buy me an AK. I'm a gun guy now. I have to have an AK. $1,000. I'm like, what? Like, same
yeah.
word? Inflation.
Yeah.
Bam, $1,000. So I overpaid for mine. I didn't pay $1,000. But I felt like I paid $1,000. I paid like $300 over what it cost just 2 months prior. And now, the last 2 months, we've started, last month and a half, actually, we've seen a dip in AK prices again. And
yeah.
then since Friday, guess what? AKs are back up $200.
So, hey,
wow.
Folks,
I had a
pay
friend,
attention,
I
y'all.
Had a friend hit me up.
Pay attention.
He said he wanted me to build him one, right? So I was like, okay, cool, you know, because naturally building a firearm is a lot cheaper. Not a pistol. Building a, you know, semi-automatic rifle is a lot cheaper
in the long run.
So I did the research on how to build him a Draco, bruh. I had to call him back and be like, look, man, that's going to cost you $2,500 for me to build it. You know what I'm saying? Like, dude.
You're like, bro, just go buy one.
No way. I was like, you better off buying that joint. Like, just go buy one, man.
Oh, man.
I was like, yeah, I had to. I had to be honest. Like, dude, $2,500 for a custom Draco, and I wasn't even really customizing. I was just building it. You know what I'm saying? I was like, nah, I'm not going to charge you that, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't get me wrong. I would if somebody really wants it, but he was a friend. You feel what I'm saying? And I was like, listen, dude, this is how much it'll cost you. And he was like, well, what if I just purchase it and then you customize it? I said, it's still going to be close to, you know what I'm saying, the Dracos he wanted was still over $1,000. You know what I'm saying? And I was like,
yeah, and that's crazy because that's not the price they were before. Definitely went up.
Yeah.
You know, but I brought this up. Yeah, I brought this up to kind of say, y'all, number one, I want to get y'all's opinion, but I also want to say, listeners, pay attention. This happened over the weekend. They mentioned this on a Friday and then went to sleep while we party on a Saturday, recovered on a Sunday. And then we wake up on a Monday. To be honest, when we wake up on a Monday, we're not looking for Friday news. That's the reality. We watch news Monday through Thursday. That's the reality. Monday through Thursday. We're not looking back. We look at news for current stuff. We don't ever say.
But you notice, but Dwayne, you do notice that they normally do this stuff around Fridays.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's always around Fridays. People, pay attention. Pay attention. There's a lot going on right now. There's this stuff going on in Afghanistan, and we think that that's not. Well, yeah, that's far away. No, that. Hitting home a lot sooner than you think. And it's not going to look like think it is. The deadline is
the ripple has
the 30th
started.
Is the deadline,
the
right?
The ripple has already started.
And you know what, even, I don't even think it's a ripple. I don't even know if it's a ripple, man. I think it's, because we called
it's about to get nasty. Like,
very nasty. And it's so funny that me and my neighbors were talking about it yesterday. We were saying, hey, it's like something don't feel right, you know. And not only that, you know, it's like when, and we're not going to get political, y'all, but too political. But, you know, think about it. Elliot, you're a Marine, you're in the military. You know, Dwayne, you're a smart guy, right? So listen to this, y'all. When have you ever known anybody to be able to just, do we have some U.S. tanks and we're just going to take them? I mean, it's just the whole thing just don't set right. Like, I don't know. Is the whole thing just don't, how they get all this United States equipment and weaponry and all this stuff? I mean, it's just, it's like, no.
On that note right there, I can hit you with that, like, so, and I'm sure Sarge is, you know what I'm saying, he'll tune in on this one. One of the things that happens there is it costs a whole lot more money to bring those weapons and certain things back over. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, I understand that.
Yeah, so a lot of times stuff gets left over there. You see what I'm saying? And if they're not being guarded or protected or whatever the case may be, they, you know what I'm saying, they usually end up in the hands of the wrong type of people. And that's really kind of as deep as I want to get. You know, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole too far, but you know what I'm saying? That's really what happens. And unfortunately, you know, our administration, you know, and I use that word loosely, decided to leave a lot of things over there. And now they're falling into their hands. you look up and, you know what I'm saying, the Taliban all got M4s. Like, what? Wait, what?
Yo,
you know,
right.
So
I wasn't tripping. When I saw that, I was like, that's not an AK. Different.
Yeah.
They don't like our guns.
Yeah.
Right.
They hate our guns. You know, they don't like because they don't run. Somebody told this to me. They don't like our guns because they don't run in the same. Which, you know, our gun, like, you know, the M4 is the AR platform is not the most, you know, they're bougie guns, y'all. They're bougie guns. Can't get them too dirty. You know, they're bougie guns. And I saw that too. Finger placement, perfect. The way they holding it,
perfect.
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 The stance, perfect. You know, and the training, it looks like us. When I see that, I'm like, wow, they look very Americanized. How militant they are. Cause
we're going to talk about that offline before they cut our show. So we'll talk about offline.
Yeah, there you go. But, you know, I really wanted to bring that up to let you all know, the listeners out there that do get different types of ammo. Just pay attention because – you may be saying, well, I don't buy AK rounds anyway. But guess what? It's not just AK rounds. Steel casing.
Yeah.
Pay attention.
Yeah.
When one price for one thing goes up, another price for something else goes up to follow. You know?
Bottom line, they are doing whatever they can so they can undercut the Second Amendment. Like, that's just the bottom line. Like, they're going to find a way, and it's always those small, subtle things that people overlook, and then all of a sudden we're looking up like, yo, how did this happen? You know what I'm saying? Like, when did you know what I mean? So
when did
you know,
we get here? It's always when did we get here?
Huh?
You know, or it's always how did we get here? What do you mean how?
Yeah.
You let this happen. We as the people have the power, but if we don't band together to demand what we want without being bought out, that's the problem. You know, we're bought out so easy with the green, man. They flash some dollars in front of us, and we're like, yay, money.
And then I had a conversation with a family member just yesterday about firearms, and this family member is still stuck on, we shouldn't have, these are their words, not mine, that we should not have, assault weapons as civilians. And I had to stop them again and say, there is no such thing as an assault weapon. There are semi-automatic and automatic weapons. And she was like, they have military grade. I said, listen, that the armed forces and police force, they have ARs, right? But that's not those are the ones that are issued most. Most are, you know, the nomenclature is an M something or M, you know what I'm saying? I said, because they're automatic style firearms. AR-15s are only glamorized bolt actions. That's all they are. They're just another way, a faster way of using a bolt action. I have to squeeze the trigger every time in order to get it to fire. It is no
and
more
that's a good way to. That's a good way to put it. So
yeah,
glamorized bolt action.
Never,
what's the difference between that and a 10/22?
Right. I said, that's it.
Right.
I said, what you're saying is what you have been convinced to say. That is, it's not true.
Yeah.
I said, it's not more dangerous. They were like, well, I just feel like we shouldn't have guns. I said, but you're not afraid of knives. I said, do you realize that there are more deaths caused by knives and stabbings in the world than there are firearms? Like, but you're still cooking. You're still cutting up. You still got a bunch of knives in the house.
Yo, you know what's so crazy, E? That's so funny you had that conversation with a family member. I had a very similar conversation with a student. I had somebody, a potential student. He reached out to me. He was like, yo, my brother, I love what you're doing. I definitely want to take one of your classes. When's the next time you going out there? Because I need some brush up. And I was like, well, you know, what platform are we talking about? We're talking about handguns, rifles, shotguns. What are you talking about? Combination of all. He was like, nah, man, handguns. I don't do that military style weapon, that stuff. And, you know, I was like, I'm curious. I want to hear you out. Let's have a conversation. So I was like, oh, bro, when you say military style, what are you talking about? And he's like, well, you know, the machine guns and those other guns, those bigger, you know, I just don't do that kind of stuff. You know, I don't think that we should have that in our home. And I said, well, you know, you want to go out and shoot a handgun, right? He's like, yeah. I said, okay, you know, that's something that the military carry. He's like, well, I said, no, it's something that they carry. So it's a handgun. It's a gun, something that they carry. He's like, well, yeah. I said, so is it the caliber? Is it the type of gun? Because they're both semi-automatic. A handgun is a semi-automatic pistol. And I currently own a semi-automatic AR pistol. And so I kind of broke it down to him. I was like, so what's the fear? Because I think that's what it is. What's the fear? What's the fear that you have? He's like, well, you know, the ARs are just more powerful. I said, what makes it powerful? A longer barrel? But would you go hunting? He's like, yeah. I said, so you ever heard of a 308? Bolt action 308, 6.5 Creedmoor? That hits a whole lot harder, 5.56223 coming out of an AR.
Yeah.
Especially if the barrel empty. And I kind of broke it down. I was kind of being a jerk, but kind of not, because I wanted him to understand, like, what he was saying. He's contradicting him his own. We was going back and forth. But, you know, folks, when you start having that conversation, I can understand it. And I'm pretty sure Kia and E can understand it a little bit. Accept it. Let me not say understand it. Accept it coming from you a little bit better if you're just anti-gun. I get that. But there's no way you can talk about having a handgun and be anti-AR, because if you can't tell me that you're anti-AR, man, I don't believe in that gun. And I put a FN 5.7 in your hand, and you're like, yo, this gun is beautiful. When that shoots a mini AR round, like, I don't care what nobody say, that's a dirty, that's a powerful round. You know, I can't put a Glock that shoots a 10 millimeter 45 or 40 in your hand. You over here complaining about a 223. Talking about that's dangerous. What are we talking about?
What about the Glock 50 cal? Right? What about the Eagle?
Yeah.
These are all handguns. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? They are handguns. There are pistols right now that fire 7.6.39. You know what I'm saying? Like,
but I got one for you, Wade. Well, it's the rate of fire. It's the rate of fire. It's all the same rate of fire. Because you have to pull the trigger each time. You have to pull the trigger each time.
That's what I tried to get that, you know, my family to understand. Like, yo, you have been literally convinced that this is wrong. And you don't know enough about firearms to make a statement that's like, oh, that we shouldn't have. You don't know enough about them. And I'm going to say this again. If you don't have enough education about them, you don't have the right to make a statement about it. You understand what I'm saying? Like,
my thing is, everybody has a preference. You can preference what you want to preference, but I think that we all have the right to choose what we want.
Yes. Don't force your views on me. Because I'm not going to force my views on you.
I'm not going to tell anyone. Like, I get people ask, when I built a 7.62 AR-15, why did you build a 7.62? And I was like, well, that's what they wanted. The 308, I mean, the 300 Blackout, the 7.62, they're pretty powerful. You know, I call them door knockers. Like, yo, they're going to hit you, and they'll knock you down. You know what I'm saying? The 5.56, the 223, those are penetrator rounds, right? We know that they're going to penetrate. They can penetrate some types of armor, right? But I prefer knockdown power. This is Elliot. That's not anybody else. I don't tell anybody. I prefer the 308. I prefer the 6.5 Creedmoor. I prefer the 7.62x39. I have the 7.62x51. You know what I'm saying? The 300 Blackout. Why? Because I want you to stop first shot. You get what I'm saying? That's Elliot. Yeah. That's not saying that's right. That's not saying that's law. That's not saying that this. I'm going to choose the round. Those are the ones I want. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
I agree.
That's what he is saying.
You know,
everybody has preference, but we can't say that one is more dangerous than the other. You know, and that's what
not at all.
Everyone
you can die from a shot by 22.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, they, I hear people all the time. 22 is probably worse. So, you know, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
So those are things that
and,
I
and you,
that
whatever you
prefer.
What a lot of people don't know, too, is that the 22 and the 223 is the same size bullet when it comes down to the diameter. Except
well, not
the
really.
Of course,
I know what you're saying.
Bigger.
Yeah.
You know, but when it you really like break bit. Down the science, you know, like the size of the actual like chip, like, it's like, yeah, I'm pretty much trying to say, like, what are we talking about? Because a projectile is a projectile, and I don't want to be hit by any of them. And now
right.
you hit me, more than likely, I'm definitely
I'm
going down.
You on that.
A 5.56 hit me, I'm going down. Somebody shoot bird shed at me, guess what? I'm going down. So it don't matter what the projectile is. It's hopefully stopped, you know, but you can't
100%.
Say that you're anti-one gun and pro another. That makes no sense.
Yeah, come on,
a gun is a gun. Like,
dude,
it hit me the other day when I was in the gun store and I was looking at the guy. I was like, yo, let me see a 308 because I'm looking to get a 308. I'm like, let me see a 308 bolt action. And he handed me a good old regular black bolt action rifle that looks like it's a 22. And I'm like, it's a 308. I'm expecting like a, you know, I've seen him, I've held him, but this was his choice. He's like, yo, this one is solid. It didn't look scary. It didn't look threatening. It looked like I'm about to put this on my back and go hunting. So you're telling me if I put that in front of you, you understand that. But if I, and you're like, oh, no. That's for a purpose. But if I put a AR-10 that shoots a 308 in front of you, oh, it's the end of the world. We're bad Americans.
Yeah.
I don't get that. It's the same thing.
Hey, look, I'm
same
not going to lie to you. Yeah. The first time I ever saw a 30-06 or a 30-30, I was like, yo, people hunt with this round? They look like
I do want a 30-06,
right.
bro.
I was like, yo, that like, you, it's illegal to hunt with a 5.56, but it's legal to hunt with a 30-06 or a 30-30.
For those of y'all that don't know what a 30-06
is, bullet isn't,
go look it
yo,
up.
Yo, that firearm is tearing up that meat. I was like, that's ridiculous.
I was
going to
say, you're not
going to
eat it. It's going to tear it up.
It's going to tear it up.
It's definitely tear it up.
I was like, yo.
It's going to shred it for
ridiculous,
you.
But yet. Propaganda. This is what they want the people to be afraid of. We want you to be afraid of this. You know what I'm saying? Not the big 50 caliber BMG. We are not the 30-06, not the 30-30, not the 7.62, not the 300 blackout. We want you to be afraid of the AR-15 5.56 2.0 or 223. What?
Yeah, just like not even the ammo. It's not even a round. It's just the look of the gun. We want you to be afraid of the shell.
That's
all it is. That's it. We want you to be afraid of the shell. You know, folks, there's a handgun. It shoots one round at a time, but it shoots 7.62 by 39. What's the difference?
Yep.
What's the difference?
And you can.
What's the difference?
We're talking about the same one. You can hide that in your pocket.
Oh, yeah. I think we were talking about the same one.
Yeah.
What's the difference? You know?
I think the biggest thing that we're trying – I think the main thing that we're trying to say is –
You have to educate yourself before you make a final
decision.
Yep,
educate. That's what I was
going to
say.
I don't think this is right. Yo, get all the facts first.
Yeah. Have a conversation.
And that's what I was saying. I was about to say, get all the facts and do some research.
Educate
instead of just taking people's word for it. Don't even take our word for it. Just go out there and look and do your own research, because the thing is, it's the miseducation that's being circulated, right? And so then now it becomes, so many people thought AR was assault rifle, right? So how did that start?
Yeah.
It started because it was said, and it was said over and over and over and over and over and over, and now people really do believe that, you know, it stands for AR. I mean, assault rifle. And so even because I was at
video game.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
No.
So
I
you know, it's more
you
about
think,
just get out and educating. Just get out and educating yourself, and just know what you're, you know what's what. Because it's because you know, someone else says it's that's what it is, doesn't mean that's what it is. So just
yeah,
go out and educate yourself. Just take a second.
I completely agree with that. I'm going to take the time to put this little shameless plug. So that Tactical and the Black Gun Initiative, or BGIs, not just a group, but, you know, with the gentleman, Kenrick Tapp, we're doing a event this Saturday. So if y'all are interested in coming out and shooting, listeners out there, go on to Facebook and just look up Black Gun Initiative and send him a message for more details on it. The shoot is going to be Saturday. But what I'm most excited about is that Saturday night, we're going to have like a little town hall meeting, if that's the right term, where we're inviting people that have questions about firearms. And we want you to come in and ask us the questions, like a panel. It's like a panel. You know, ask us the questions. We want to talk with you. We want to open that conversation. You know, if you're anti-gun, we want to hear why. Because a lot of times, it could be something as simple as maybe we're doing something in the gun community that maybe we need to change on how we present A, B, or C, you know? It could be something on us.
Yeah.
It could be something on you. But we got to meet in the middle, because guess what? Taking the guns away, taking our guns away because you don't want to have a gun makes zero sense, because you all won't like it if we force you to have a gun because we have a gun.
Yeah.
And we have never had that conversation. You know, so if we believe in firearms for whatever reason, and we're over here doing it safely, that's on us. If you don't,
yeah,
that's on you. But I think we can don't just yell at us saying get rid of them, Cole, and we're not going to yell at you saying accept them. Let's meet in the middle and find out why. Maybe you can bridge that gap. You know, because sometimes it's as simple as having a conversation. So, you know, that Saturday night we're going to be having that town hall. Folks, I also want to throw another shameless plug. I did a class on Wednesday with this awesome lady and this gentleman. Shout out to Melissa and to my guy, Brian. They came out and did my introduction to AR-15, the AR platform class with me on Wednesday. But my favorite part about that day was I was at a black-owned gun range, y'all. Black-owned outdoor gun range is called Range 4227. Look them up on YouTube, same name on YouTube, Range 4227. The owner, his name is Slater, really, really good guy. Yo, he even do nighttime shoots. So if you got the night vision goggles and stuff like that, he do nighttime shoots once or twice a week. So I don't have none. I'm not that cool yet.
I
want to
do that.
Right? So, Slater, if you're listening, shout out to you, bro. I appreciate your support and partnering with me and my future classes. But again, his name is Slater. The name of the range is Range 4227. Check them out on YouTube. Really good guy. You know, y'all can book your time with him. Just shoot him a message on YouTube. He responds all the time. So shout out to you. Another thing I wanted to throw at y'all. I wanted to bring it up last week and I think the week before, but for some reason we get into these deep conversations and we just stay with it. I figure, you know what? A couple of weeks have passed. Have y'all heard about that crazy, crazy case out in Florida? And I know Florida already is crazy. So if we have any Floridians listening out there, y'all crazy. Y'all got some stuff going on out there in Florida. Y'all crazy people out there. But we love y'all. I love y'all. Shout out to the Floridians. But y'all crazy. Y'all state something different. Have y'all heard about the ATM shooting that happened in Florida a couple weeks ago?
Nah.
No? Okay. I'm going to throw this at y'all. And y'all tell me what y'all think, right? So, gentleman was at ATM late night, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, whatever. And he pulls up, drive-through ATM. He pulls up, and three dudes approach him, two on passenger side from the back of the vehicle.
We did talk
side.
About this. We talked about this one.
We talked about
yeah,
it?
I think we talked about it, but keep
did
going.
We?
Yeah, the guy, did he circle back around and shoot the guy?
Yes. So we did talk about it.
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure that we did talk about it. Because
but no, but Elliot, right? But tell it again. Tell it again.
Okay, because I don't think E was on the show. For those of the listeners that heard it last time, I apologize, but I just think it's a story that needed to be brought back up. So, you know, the guy was in the ATM drive-thru, and two guys approached from the left side, passenger side, and one guy approached on the right side. And he was ready. I guess he peeped the guys in the rearview mirror, so the victim at that moment was ready. Took his firearm and shot, striking the one that's on the driver's side, because that's the closest threat, okay? So if I break this down, he did the right thing. You don't see a threat on your side and focus on the threat that's on the passenger side. That makes no sense. You go for the one that's closest, and that's exactly what he did. And the other two scattered. He hit the one. That one fell. He shot him up probably about 2 or 3, 4 rounds, and the guy fell. He got out his truck and made sure the area was clear, got back in the truck, drove off, called 911. What do you think so far, E? So far, self-defense, right?
Yeah.
Right? Guess what?
Yeah, that's
while he's right on the phone with 911, the dude doubles back. The victim doubles back while he's on the phone with 911, pulls up to where the body's still on the ground, gets out the truck and put more – no, I think he stays in the truck. Out, puts his hand out the window and put more shots into the body that's on the ground.
You skipped the part. He jumped out the car. He got out the car, took the guy's gun from him, and then used the guy, and then put more rounds into the body while the guy was on the ground, pretty much dead.
Yep.
Yeah.
And all the time, but
on the phone with 911, he told 911 that the shooting they heard was them shooting at him, but it was him shooting.
Yep. This fool didn't even think, yo, you're on camera. But he took something that's self-defense and turned it into whatever charge they're going to hit him with. But they're going to hit him with a huge charge.
Yeah, malicious moving.
And the thing is, I think how it came up on the show we were talking about when it first, previously when it happened, is we were talking about how, you know, basically, you know, exactly what you said, don't take it too far. You know, it's like, and then you never know who's watching. And I tell my students all the time, you know, make sure, you know, do the right thing, because you never know who's watching, who has a camera, who's in the shadows recording you. I bet you that man didn't think twice about the fact that you're in a bank ATM. There's going to be cameras, dude. There's going to be cameras. So he probably didn't even think twice about it, but there's cameras everywhere.
100%, because, you know, once that fight or flight kicks in, that's, you know what I'm saying, all like true common sense, and you know what I'm saying, certain things go out the window. That's why they kind of tell you. That's why I teach, yo, don't say anything till your lawyer get there. You know what I'm saying? Because you're not gonna remember all the details. You know what I mean? So a lot of people, you know, he probably was so jacked up on adrenaline. He had no idea, honestly, what he was really doing. You feel what I'm saying? So, you know, a situation
or
like that.
Maybe he knew exactly what he was doing. And I read another article that tied back to that one that said that he took it personal. they ran up on him. You know, so no, but even what you're saying is absolutely right. Like, you know, you don't know what your body's going to do. You know, he could have been a bad day. So a couple things I took away from that was, number one, be prepared, because the initial interaction of that, his head was on a swivel. Like, if you watch the video, E, I'll say look it up. The dude didn't get up on his window.
No.
He was able to get him before
he ready.
Even crossed.
He was ready, ready.
So he was ready. Yep, he was ready, ready.
Wow.
And also, to flip it, my young brothers out there, you got to know who you got to understand. You just never know who you're going to run up on one of these days. You know, you may run up on the person that you know, and I'm not trying to wish nothing bad on her. Our instructor, Dawn, that's a deadly woman. And she don't look like that.
But she's so tiny. She's so tiny.
She's tiny.
Yeah.
She's like, what, like 5'2", 5'3"?
Yeah,
if that.
102 pounds, if both of those. And
you best believe
you don't
can
see
put
her
rounds
carrying
on target fast.
She don't open carry. She don't open carry, and you got to guess where her gun is, and she don't carry a little baby gun. Okay. So,
You know, hey, yo, we need
think twice,
you know, we need to get Dawn on the radio show. I forgot about that.
Oh yeah, you know, Dawn's a busy woman. Dawn's a very busy woman.
And she loves to talk too. So.
Yeah. We'll have to bring Don, if you're listening, we'll have to bring you on with like the last like 15 minutes. Because, you know, one thing, you know, Star's calling, Don is on, and now Dwayne's mom is on. Oh, man, the three of us might as well just check out and let them talk. Like,
But, yeah, that's real, though. That's real. I got to look that video up. See, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, look it up.
You know what I'm saying? I'm going to tell you, a lot of events, I kind of get lost with certain events because once football season roll around, man, because if I'm not here, you know what I'm saying? Like, even when I'm here, I'm on the computer looking at film, you know, doing, you know, scheduling, you know, rosters, you know what I'm saying? So it's a whole lot, man. The football season has been consumed, and it's been kind of crazy because, like I said, this is the first real football season we're going to have in a while. So I'm trying to get back used to doing all of this, you know what I mean? So I really have a lot of time to look at events.
Get back into the swing of things, man. Just be safe because, folks, there's a lot. Point blankers. Let me call you all what you all are. Point blankers. There's a lot of people out there that they're down in their luck right now, whether it's financially or emotionally. They're down in their luck right now. And a lot of us are walking around as soft targets. We're walking around looking like soft targets, and that's the one thing we don't ever want to do. We don't ever want to walk around looking like we're soft targets. In the last, like, probably 2 weeks, I've watched so much videos of people getting their doors kicked in, whether it's a straight-up home invasion type thing or just breaking and entering.
And you know what? You're right, Dwayne. I've seen a lot of that, too. I've seen a lot of
and
that.
This is recent
like,
stuff.
People just kicking in people's door. I'm like, what?
Yeah. You know, so folks, don't be a soft target. You're the softest of targets when you're in your home. And it's understandable why. Because you feel your home is your castle. You want to be comfortable in home. But you got to remember, being comfortable and being a soft target is two different things. You can't put those two together.
Yeah.
You can be comfortable and still be prepared. Okay?
Right.
I'm prepared right now. You know, someone kicks in my door, and knock on wood, nothing happens. I'm telling myself that I'm prepared. Now, when anything happens, you're in the moment. You don't really know what your body's going to allow you to do. Your body and brain don't always work on the same level, right, all the time. But I'm prepared. Mentally, I'm telling myself I'm prepared. Physically, I'm telling myself I'm prepared. My home is prepared. Little things y'all can do. When you leave your home, lock your doors. Right?
Yeah.
Lock your doors. When you go to bed at night, double check, triple check. Create some sort of OCD pattern to where you go check all your windows, and then you go back and check them again. Because you leaving a window unlocked because you didn't feel like getting up could be the last time. It could be one of your last nights. Oh, that bathroom window is high. Nobody climbing up there. People are desperate. They would climb up there. You know?
Yeah.
If you are firearm owners, when you answer your door and it's a stranger, go to the door with your gun. You don't have to go to the door and press your gun against the door like you see in movies. At least have your gun to your side. I'm not telling you to live in fear, but what I'm telling you to do is live in current times. And right now, current times are scary times, and you don't want to be another victim. Refuse to be a victim. And refusing to be a victim, to me, doesn't start when the home invasion is in the works or you're being attacked on the street and you're fighting. Refusing to be a victim is also preparation. You know, what do you do when you leave the house? Are you driving the same way every single day? You know, are you coming home the same time every day? Are you on a predictable schedule? Because nobody knows you better, not your wife, not your friends, not your mom, not your family, but the person that knows you the best is your next door neighbor. They know everything about you.
It's so scary because, you know, we think about all the time, you know what I'm saying, when we talk about, you know, those of us that have firearms and firearm community and then those that don't, you know what I'm saying, we probably have some listeners that are not a part, they don't want firearms. So they're just looking kind of for alternate, you know, safety measures. There are ways to reinforce your doors, ways to reinforce your garage, reinforce your locks.
I'm going to rewind you again, E. Say that again. What did you say? You after doors, what did you say? Reinforce your what?
Your doors, your garage, you know what I'm saying?
That garage, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There are companies that sell panels that, you know what I'm saying, will allow your door. Because, you know, a garage door, man, if you kick that garage door enough, man, that thing will cave in on you. You feel what I'm saying?
It'll cave in.
It'll cave in on you. So you can take a sledgehammer to it or whatever, but you can reinforce each panel. You know what I'm saying? To where it'll cause more noise than actual, entry damage. You feel me? So there are ways to, because I'm going to tell you something that I've learned, too, and many people are into this, where they have the video cameras, the Ring, right, the Ring doorbells and all of that stuff. Some of the things that we teach when it comes to just secretive stuff, all right? That's as far as I'm going to go with that, all right? Anything that emits a signal, I know, right? Anything that emits a signal can be tapped into. So anything that you have that's wireless, best believe if there are criminals in your area, they're learning. Think about this. How many times have you seen someone drive through your neighborhood and you don't know who that is? But they're just driving through, just, you know, up the street, down the street, you know what I'm saying? There are people that are out there looking to hack into Wi-Fi signals, looking to hack into Ring signals, right? A person can watch you leave your home if they can tap into that doorbell. That Ring system, they can watch you leave your home and time how long you're gone. You know, they can also watch you come back and inform whoever there is there that's possibly robbing your home that you guys need to get out now because they're there. You see what I'm saying? So things, you know, we're all about convenience, right? Everything's got to be fast. But if it emits a signal of some sort that can be hacked or captured, right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a problem. I learned on the last mission that I was on, as far as with the, you know what I'm saying, the Green Berets, right, the Special Forces, that you should never use facial recognition or fingerprinting on your phone. And I was like, what? Now, mind you, I told y'all that my phone was able to unlocked because of my son, my 8-year-old. You know what I'm saying? Because it assumed he was me. You see what I'm saying? Because of the bone structure, right? But what I had also learned was the first thing we do when we're trying to gather information from an enemy or a captee, right, is we use their phone. And we do that by using their fingerprint or facial recognition, then we can get into your phone. You see what I'm saying? And I was like, yo. So now I have deleted completely fingerprint and, you know what I'm saying, and facial recognition on my phone. You have to punch in a code. You see what I'm saying? And no one knows
what
code with my I don't use it.
I'm
about to
change that right now. Shoot.
Because all of my personal information, everything, Your think about how many times you purchase things online just using your phone. Your phone stores those things.
Yeah, you're right. You know, that's what I do on my 9-to-5. I do the phone stuff. And I'm glad you brought it back to the phone, because I also, when I used to work for another company, I used to, one of the products we used to sell was home automation security. You know, I'm not going to say the name of the company or the name of the brand, but this was a platform that you can use with, make sure she's not listening, with Alexa. You know, you can use with Alexa to say, hey, Alexa, and like you said it, you hit on head, E, convenience. We all want convenience. Convenience is good until it's not, right, until it works against us.
Right.
So it was a home automation system that you can set up, that you can unlock your doors from your phone and all this cool futuristic stuff that we've all been waiting for. And then they came out with the Alexa integration where you can say, hey, Alexa, unlock my doors, you know? And everybody went crazy, like, yes, I can use this with this assistant. Let me not say Alexa. I don't want to be sued, so sorry, Amazon.
Right.
Don't sue us or cancel us. So anyway, you can say, hey, such and such, unlock my doors. Oh, unlock my windows. Disarm my security, right? But
right. People
don't realize, as cool as that is, have you ever tested the range?
Yeah, see?
If your
stuff
is near the door or in that living room,
yeah. It
doesn't have to recognize your voice. It just has to hear the name.
Yeah.
So now here I am
at
your front door, and I can now say, hey, such and such, unlock my door, and guess what's going to happen? Guess what I have access to? I have access to your door. I have access to your home.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
And I may not do nothing at that moment, but that's going to give me access to your home to prep. Now I'm going to come in, I'm going to open up this window, I'm going to go through your stuff, I'm going to learn your routine, I'm going to find a good spot in your closet because the best crime is going to happen in the middle of the night. You ain't going to know I'm in here
those
until
are the
too
things,
late, 3 a.m.
Those are
you
the
open
things
your eyes, I'm on
that,
top of you.
That they teach, what you're talking about, those are the things that Special Forces understands. And I've learned that working with them. And now I'm like, I don't want anything automated. I don't want anything. I don't want Alexa in my house. I don't want a Ring doorbell. Like, I don't want none of that. Like, no. Like, I'm still kind of like, because of the internet, that we have internet, but we use it. I'm like, oh, my gosh. You know what I'm saying? Because you learn these things, and then you become paranoid. Like, oh, my gosh. Like, we're really falling into a world of vulnerability, not even availability or comfort. We're becoming more vulnerable. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, yo, nah, forget that.
In the name of being, I lost my train of thought with the word, but in the name of convenience, you know, we're becoming a lot more vulnerable in the name of convenience. You know, we're giving away our ownership.
Yeah.
I know we're kind of going off the whole gun thing, but I think it's tied back to preparation and what's going on in the world. We're giving away ownership, right? With the generation that's coming up right now, you're hearing less and less, I want to own a house, but I want to rent something beautiful, right? I want to travel and hit Airbnb. I don't want to buy a car because I can rent a car. Subscription. Everything is subscription-based. We're giving away ownership to subscription-based. Which means we're controlled. You know, again, that convenience is going to get us every single time, and it ties back to home security. So I love the fact that you brought that up, E, because it's so damn true. So damn true.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
And, you know, for me, I'm all for my home security and stuff like that. But, you know, you also have to understand, it's like, I think for most people, once they get it, they feel totally, like they let their guard down. You know what I'm saying? So it's the difference between having a Ring or having an automated system, and you think you're just totally safe because you don't take any additional precautions because you think this is the tell-all, the end-all, right? So if you're going to get it, because those things are nice, of course, right? But at the same time, you still have to put additional precautions in place if you are going to get those things, because it's not like, okay, now my house is a fortress now. No, it's not. It's not like that. So I think that the more convenience we have, the more lackadaisical we get. I don't need to lock my door. Oh, I'm not going to think about locking my door. What happens if the power go out and you can't access it and you can't lock your door now?
Yeah.
100%.
So it's like things like that people don't – I think people get really comfortable, and then it makes you slip up. You start slipping up, and you do things you wouldn't normally do. So I think that's more of that, as opposed to not having it at all.
Catch slacking. That's what the young kids say.
You say, yeah, catch slacking. Pretty much.
Yeah.
Catch slacking.
Yeah. You know, folks, don't fall into that whole, I guess, narrative where, you know, Keith, you just said it. You know, we get a home security. I'm good. You know, people told me. When I approach them like, yo, you know, I do firearms, blah, 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 blah. I'm not just about conceal. You know, I could help your family come together with a plan. I have a plan. Well, okay, that's good. We can help build on that. Oh, I have home security. So I know when anybody steps on my property, I say, well, that is great until the power goes out. So,
right.
So
exactly.
What are we talking about?
Exactly.
You know, I had somebody tell me, I have a dog until you don't. Like, you have it until you don't. So what are we talking about? You have your dog.
Well, you know what's
until
so funny? We have a we have the automated lock that you could punch the code in. That you have a code to put in. Well, one time the battery, it was so funny. Me and my husband, we let the battery run out. Right? The battery stopped.
Yeah,
and we're
right.
Sitting there like, where's the key? We don't know. Where's the key? I don't know. You know, so we're like, we don't even have the key anymore. So it's like, hey, maybe we need to make sure we have a backup for that because the batteries ran down and we were sitting outside like, we can't get in the door. So, you know, things like that, like we always tell, even if you tie back the firearms, they're mechanical devices, they can fail. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's safety on your gun.
Yeah.
So those things can fail as well. So you have to make sure that you're able to have a backup plan and make sure you're still, you know, being diligent as far as, well, okay, so if this fails, then what? So.
Yeah,
right.
Definitely. I'm gonna recommend a recommendation to me. I'm probably going to order it this weekend. Kia, that preparation book that you talked about a while ago when we did the prepper show, I think that book.
Back to Basics?
Yes, yes.
We were just talking about that book last. We were going through that book last night. Yeah, that's a good book.
That book has
everything.
I'm going to order mine this weekend. Yep. So, again, folks, listen, we started out talking about practice, you know, and we're kind of ending the same way. It's about practice is all about preparation, right? That's all it comes down to. When you're out there practicing, you're preparing for whatever you're practicing. You're preparing for something, right? That's practice.
Yeah.
Same thing with your home security. Don't get complacent. That's the word I was looking for, complacency.
Don't get complacent because
you got comfortable, you know, because everything is easy and handed to you and all this other stuff. Don't get complacent due to convenience. Ooh, I like that. I'm going to put that on a shirt, # Don't get complacent because of convenience. I like that. Listen to me, y'all. Listen to me. But no, folks, listen, I told y'all, you're my brother, my sister. Because of you two, I definitely do a lot more. You guys forced me to do a lot more, so I appreciate it. Listeners, I know I'm getting mushy, but y'all need to start listening. Listen, pay attention. That's the best way to listen is by paying attention. It's not always just listen to words, but pay attention. There's a lot of stuff going on right now that's apparently unexplainable. I don't understand how stuff is unexplainable, but you got to read between these lines. There's a lot. And,
yeah.
Yo, I hate
I think Elliot and Dwayne, we need to do another show about prepping again. So because I think that
yes, we do.
It's definitely worth being,
one, right?
It's just worth being knowledge being you know talked about again because the more we get I mean like I said the more this year comes to an end it's like stuff you guys got to start seeing the signs you know what I'm saying so I think we need to do another prepping show maybe we can do it next week because we need to definitely talk about
you know,
prepping and some more things.
You know
yeah,
I was
yeah,
thinking
yeah.
too what if we did a prepping show and we did it live. Like an actual like video.
That'd be good.
Like because
be good.
You know we can throw up some slides because I know I can only imagine what you were talking about. You know I'm like okay she said she you know this we could throw you know make it a thing like let's find a platform folks and see if we can
yeah,
do a prepping show nice and live.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, we got let's put that
but,
we'll think about that and put that together. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that would be dope.
We'll use Dwayne's YouTube channel.
Yeah. You're making me feel special right now. Ooh.
Yeah.
But or can you do Instagram? Like, can Instagram do more than one, like one-on-one? I think it can.
I think Instagram can do multiple.
Let's look that up. We're going to look that up, y'all.
We're definitely
look that up.
Yeah,
on Prepper Show, we're going to put our brains together and definitely put that together. But folks, we're coming down to the end right now. We have a minute left. Again, I want to tell you two, you're awesome. E, Kia, E, cuts the Taurus and he likes it. Oh!
Hey, look, he had to bring that back up, didn't he? He had to.
He ain't going to let that one go.
You know.
He's not going to let that go.
Soon as this countdown hits zero, I'm calling Cap. You best believe.
Yeah.
Point blank.
You guys are crazy.
From Jack Tactical, I love y'all. And he, that's all I got to say. We love y'all.
Yeah, whatever.
Oh, gang.
And please continue to listen and share and come and join and go join on the conversations. We like to talk, but we like to hear you guys talk as well. So come back and see us next week. Bye.
Bye
y'all.